You're listening to Captivate and Convert, the weekly podcast created to show you how to attract the people you actually want to work with and get paid to do what only you can do. I'm your host, Christy Sigelski, and each week you can expect legit marketing tips, biz building strategies, and expert advice that'll help you ditch the grind and feel more aligned so you can captivate and convert your audience. If you're ready to grow your business without the struggle, you're in the right place. My guest on today's show is CPA Melissa Houston, and I am super excited for you to hear our conversation because although I'm typically not a numbers girl, Melissa really breaks business finances down in a way that just makes you feel empowered rather than overwhelmed, which I think is why a lot of us avoid that part of running a business at all costs. My hand is totally raised on that one. Now, this girl knows her stuff. As a financial strategist for CEOs and a columnist at Forbes.com, she helps business owners keep more money in their pockets and increase their personal wealth without necessarily having to create more revenue. On the show, Melissa and I talk about the difference between profit and revenue and why it's misleading when internet famous coaches and course creators choose to report one versus the other when talking about their six-figure launches and seven-figure years. Yeah, we go there. Now, Melissa shares the number one thing she sees business owners struggle with the most when it comes to their finances, and how you can really recover from any financial missteps you've made in the past and create wealth for yourself. And this is a big one, where to start, because I think most of us, or a lot of us, struggle with that part. There are so many great nuggets of advice in this episode. I highly recommend grabbing your notebook before you check it out. Hi, Melissa. Welcome to the show.
Hey, Christy, thank you so much for having me. I'm very excited about being here today.
Well, I am excited to talk business finances with you, but I have to confess that looking at my numbers, I was just telling you this before we hit record, looking at the numbers in my business is not something I've been particularly interested in or good at necessarily. I think it's because, well, number one, I mean, it's felt a little overwhelming, right? Because there's a lot to think about there. And then number two, I think I've had this idea that if I have to change some things based on what I learn, I'm going to feel like I have less freedom. And I'm sure a lot of people listening can relate to that, you know? So I'm interested to kind of dive into some of the fears we have around finances, among other things.
I love that you bring that up because you're definitely not alone. Like every client I've worked with, there's some fear around the numbers and the overwhelm is predominant.
Well, we're gonna get to that for sure. But before we kind of dig in, I'd love to just learn more about you and kind of hear the story behind your business.
Sure. Yeah, I'd love to share that. So accounting actually is my second career. So my first career was in social work. And I worked in social work for about 5 or 6 years. And I realized it's very high burnout. So I decided to go back to school and do something I was good at, which was business. And through, you know, my business studies, I had to choose a major. And I just kind of chose accounting out of, you know, what interested me the most. I wasn't, you know, loving numbers or anything, but, you know, thought it would make sense like for a career choice. So as I, you know, moved along in the corporate ladder, in the corporate world, I got my CPA and that opened a lot of doors for me. And it allowed me to have a really great career in the corporate public accounting space and government space. So I worked in those spaces for over 20 years and I always miss something, right? And a huge part of what I was missing was that social work side of me. So I always knew that when it was time to start my own business, which I knew pretty much from the get-go I would do, that I would marry social work with my expertise with numbers. And what I did was I created a business coaching business about 2 years ago. And I mean, it brings me absolute joy. I love it because I love to help business owners either meet them where they're at, if they're at this stage where they're, you know, just starting out, they need help with getting their books organized, they need help with understanding what, you know, basic business stuff for accounting and growing it into like, okay, now we're going to grow your business and we're scaling your business and now you're hitting like seven figures and now you need a done for you service where it's a fractional CFO service that I offer. So what I do is when I work with clients, whether it's a one-on-one coaching or a fractional CFO service, I include the coaching. Like, coaching is absolutely important because I believe every business owner needs to understand their business numbers so that they can grow their business with success and profit and tight profit margins and understand what's going on in their business, right? Because the best way to know what's going on in your business and to know your business intimately is to know your business numbers.
Yeah, it's so important. And I think when I started out, you know, like many people that I speak to on this podcast, you know, picking a number to charge for an hourly rate, because I was charging an hourly rate when I started, was just something I like pulled out of a hat, or I guess pulled out of Google is more accurate to say. And what I didn't understand at the time, you know, just starting out, was that all of the expenses I had in running an online business, I hadn't accounted for. And so that hourly rate that I was charging, which at the time was $35 an hour, barely covered all of those expenses. So literally I was working, you know, 7 days a week and not even, well, barely covering my expenses. So essentially not making a profit. So obviously, like, you know, you kind of live and learn, and I certainly did, but I'm sure that there are so many other things that I could and should be looking at now. And we're going to talk about it.
Yep. So, we're going to get right into that, eh?
Yeah. So just to kind of kick things off, I would love to just start with talking about the difference between profit and revenue and which one we should be more concerned with. Because I think those two terms are often used interchangeably, but they're not the same. And it would be great to kind of clear up some of the confusion around that.
Absolutely. And I'm so glad you bring this up because you're right. It's so unclear, especially in the online space. Everybody's talking about their revenue numbers. You know, when you hear about people launching, they're like, I had a six-figure launch, or I have a seven-figure business, or, you know, whatever's going on, right? And when I hear those comments, I'm like, to be honest with you, I think, okay, well, that doesn't really impress me because I have seen so many seven-figure businesses go bankrupt because they have not managed their money well. So what matters? I mean, revenue is absolutely important. And for sure, you should be really happy if you're making a ton of money, right? Like if you're bringing in a ton of revenue. But if you don't have the profit in your business that supports those type of revenue numbers, then you're doing it all for nothing. So your example of, you know, charging $35 an hour, which had you been my client at that time, we definitely would have worked on that right away. But, you know, whether you're charging $35 an hour or $1,000 an hour, if there's no profit in your business, then that's a red flag. Like the reason why businesses exist is to create that profit. And profit is all the revenue numbers coming in, let's say for the month or the year, whatever time period you choose, less all the expenses for that same time period, what you have left over, that's the profit. That's the stuff that matters because that's the money that you as a business owner get to keep for yourself at the end of the day, but with the caveat of paying taxes first because nothing comes for free with the government, right?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, it's funny because I'm thinking like, this reminds me very much of I had a crazy aversion to like blocking out time in my calendar too, because I didn't want to feel restricted. And I think like that was my biggest hang up about looking at the numbers is not wanting to feel restricted. But as you're going through, you know, talking about, you know, needing to understand like what you're spending versus what you're taking in, so you know what you actually have to live on and take home. That is would have been super helpful to know as I was setting up my business. And I mean, lucky for me, like it all worked out. I figured it out and I moved forward. You know, within 6 months, I'd kind of changed my pricing and stuff. But if I wasn't so afraid of like, you know, if I wasn't so afraid of feeling like I wouldn't have the freedom if I really like sat down and compared those numbers, what I was taking in versus what I was spending, things would have been a lot different.
I love that you bring this up because I feel that so many people look at it the same way, right? Where we've been taught that, okay, say for example, with our household budget, budgets are extremely constraining for us because we know we've got that finite number of money coming in and we know that we can't spend beyond our means, right? So the budget is basically to make sure that you're not spending more money than you make. So that feels very constrictive. But when you look at business, what's so important to understand as business owners is that you have the ability to create more wealth for yourself, right? So instead of looking at it like it's going to be something constrictive and it's not going to allow you to do anything, what I always work with my clients is, how are you going to grow your business? So instead of looking at it like, okay, I only have so certain many hours a week where I can work. Those only these hours are billable. This is what I bill at. And that's it. That's all. So I have to live within those means. I challenge clients. I'm like, well, is there any other way that you can have an income stream coming in? Is there any other way you can create more wealth for yourself? Because it's not just about constricting your spending. It's about creating more money for yourself, right? As a business owner, you have so many options. And I always encourage business owners not to rely on one revenue stream, right? Because you want to diversify and protect your business. Having multiple streams of revenue coming in is ideal to keep your business risk averse. And then you've got options. You can grow your business. And so whether it's through digital courses or group programs, or you know, you find a balance between one-on-one coaching versus other offers that you can scale and grow, then you're looking at the possibilities for your business, right? And you can see how your revenue would grow and your expenses are going to grow with your revenue. But when you focus on how much profit you're going to keep for yourself at the end of the day, that gets exciting, right? How do you not get excited about making money? So it's sort of like flipping the switch and saying, you know what? I'm not limited to how many billable hours I have. The world is my oyster. I can figure out how to make more money. There's tons of ways to make more money in your business. And when you create that wealth for yourself, what it's doing is it's increasing your net worth.
Yeah. And I think what comes to mind for me is that there can be this freedom in the structure if you're able to sort of be flexible and not have these hard and fast rules about, like you said, you know, creating a different revenue stream. It doesn't have to be about, oh, I only have these hours to work. You know, if you're willing to be flexible with your time and kind of what you can put out there for a service or a product, you're gonna ultimately have more freedom.
Absolutely. And it's not just like, you know, you don't have to think about it as services that you offer in your business. You can also think about it as like, what am I going to invest my money in so I can get my money working for me, right? So if you don't want to get into the world of, you know, group programs or courses or whatever, be resourceful. Think about like, well, maybe I want to invest in a rental property that's going to generate revenue for me. Or maybe I want to invest in the stock market where that's going to, you know, get my money working for me as well. Because the idea is you want to have different income levels coming in so that you're constantly getting your money working for you.
Yeah, that's a really, really good point. Very different kind of way of thinking and looking at it. Now, what's the number one thing that you see business owners struggle with when it comes to their finances? And how would you describe your approach to addressing it?
Yeah, it would definitely, you know, my answer would definitely be based on the different level of entrepreneurs that I meet, right? So people starting out generally struggle with separating their personal finances from their business finances. So that's a big thing, you know, when you're starting out, make sure you have a business bank account and keep all your business finances separate from your personal. And then, you know, as you go on, it's the overwhelm. It's the not willing to look at what's going on in your business because you're afraid to see the results, right? It's overwhelming. It's fearful. And people are just sweeping under the rug all their financial results when what they could be doing is taking those results and taking the emotion out of looking at those numbers and looking at it for what it is, valuable feedback that your business is giving you through these numbers. So if something is working, it's not always about looking at what's not working, right? You also want to see what's working so you can capitalize on that and, you know, get it working in so many more other areas, right? And then for things that aren't working as well, you need this information so that you know and understand what you can do, what you have power over to plug any money leaks or just tighten the process, increase efficiencies, and get that money, you know, that those profit margins tightened up so that you're keeping more money in your pocket instead of letting it leak out.
Yeah. I mean, it's like, it's so simple, but it just, yeah, I can see, I know my own struggle, so I get it. I'm curious, like, what the place is that you get the most pushback from people on?
Overwhelm and fear. Absolutely. And this is the first thing that I start working with clients about is your money mindset, right? Because if you're in a position where you've got, you know, these mindset issues and limiting beliefs that are holding you back, you're never going to get any further in your business than where you are. right? So, and it's not uncommon. Everybody has a money story. Money is one of the most emotionally charged topics there is out there. So if you've got money stories that are subconsciously ruling your decisions in your business, that's holding you back and keeping you from being the best possible business owner that you can be.
Yeah. And I think in the online space, of course, we've got the added kind of stress of everybody else talking about what's going on for them, which, you know, like we mentioned in the beginning of the show, like those numbers are misleading when people are talking about, you know, how much money they made from a launch or what their business did this year. You can't really compare yourself to somebody else because you don't really know where they're pulling that information from. And it all sounds good on paper or on Instagram, but, you know, it really doesn't have anything to do with what's going on for you and your business. Exactly. So if you're able to sort of put those blinders on and look at really what's going on in your own situation, you're just going to be so much better off.
Yeah. When I see those stories too, I mean, like, you know, running a business is hard work. Like being an entrepreneur is hard work. So when you see these stories on Instagram and all the social media outlets, you know, it's like they're showing you like the shiny part of life. And, you know, some of it's questionable, right? Like I'm a numbers person. So I'm always looking at it analytically. And I realized that, you know, you can't compare. You don't know what's going on with their finances. You really don't.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, you mentioned that business owners have a unique ability to create wealth. And I would love to just kind of get a general explanation of why you believe that to be true and talk about, you know, how we can kind of use that ability to create stronger businesses and I guess ultimately better lives, right? Because in the end, mm-hmm. that's really the goal.
Exactly. And I get so passionate about this, right? Because so many women come to me and they're like, you know what? I just need to make as much as I need to make to pay my bills. And I question that. I'm like, why? Why are you in business and you just want to make enough money to get by when you have these possibilities that I touched on earlier? Like there's different ways that you could be making income. And so what I do with my clients is I want them to get really clear on what they truly want out of life, right? And so many times there's these old tapes or memories of people telling us that wealthy people are greedy or it's bad to want more money or if you're wealthy, you're going to turn into a jerk or there's, you know, tons of negative connotations to being a wealthy person. And everybody's going to define wealth differently. Like some people would define wealth as making over $100,000 a year and they would be very, very happy living there, where other people want millions, right? So I judge not. Like these are your dreams. So if you've got dreams of making millions and, you know, living the high life, why the hell not? Like why would you restrict yourself? If you're able to work for it and achieve that, you should be damn proud of that, right? So knowing how or what you want to or how you want to show up in the world and what you want for yourself and claiming that is a really important part of mindset. And as a business owner, we have so much more freedom and control over our income that's coming in. If you're a salaried employee and like, let's say you're making $100,000 a year, you know that that's all you have to work with. So you have to live within those means and make the best possible money decisions, right? But if you're a business owner, you can take that $100,000 you're making a year and increase it, right? If you plan and project properly and you've got, you know, that roadmap and that guide to get you to that goal that you've created for yourself, then you can absolutely go for it and try to achieve those financial goals. And there shouldn't be anything wrong with that. There shouldn't be that guilt or that feeling like, well, you know, I don't really need that money, so why should I be taking it kind of thing. Also, I challenge people to think, you know, like there's so much good that you can do with money, right? It's not just about, you know, getting material objects or like, I don't know, going, I don't know, like whatever your dream is, like that sailboat, you know, do you need it in your, you know, whatever, right? There's things like, I want to pay for my kids' education when they're older, or I want to take annual family trips so that we create memories, or I want to start that philanthropy project that I've had in mind for years. And having a business that's making a lot of money can fuel a charity or a not-for-profit. Like instead of looking at it like you're greedy, what you're doing is you're offering so many different opportunities in the world for others to enjoy that money.
Yeah. And I love that you know, it sounds like you really kind of help your clients look at what their goals are and then sort of reverse engineer it from there And it's not really based on, you know, some arbitrary number that sounds good on the internet. I feel like kind of the flip side of creating wealth and having these, I don't know, just certain income goals that we hear thrown around all the time is that it's really not taking into account your personal situation and what, of course, there's what you need and what you want, and what you want matters. But, you know, not every business owner necessarily has to have the goal of making 7 and 8 figures, like, exactly, depending on what they want and what their goals are for life. So I just think it's really important to define what that looks like for you. And then, you know,
yeah,
creating the strategy to get there.
Exactly. Like, you know, becoming, and it's so predominant on the internet these days where it's like, oh, now you need to be a 7 or 8 figure business. Knowing that you're sacrificing part of your freedom and life to create that business is really, you know, what it's all about. So you could be a business, like, let's say you're making $250,000 a year. You can create so much wealth for yourself if you're managing your money well, right? When you're creating these multi-million dollar businesses, you're creating multi-million dollar expenses that go with it. So in the end, when you look at your profit, that's where you decide if it's worth the effort or not. Like, you have to think about, you know, what you would lose in time and freedom and all that stuff, and look at the bottom line and say, well, is it worth it for me to build that business, or am I happier at a lower income with more freedom?
Yeah, I love that. I love that. So how can we go about changing the financial picture for ourselves? Can you kind of give a little overview of the strategy that you, you know, just generally kind of implement with your clients?
Absolutely. So I have a 5-step cash confident framework that I work through for the business side of getting your money into manageability and control. And the first step, like I mentioned, is always talking about the mindset, right? Because if you're fearing those numbers, you got to get over that fear and learn how to separate the emotion with that fear, or with the numbers. And then learn how to read your financial reports, right? So understand what your income statement is and what it's telling you. Understand what KPIs that you can monitor when you understand what's going on in your business. Understand the balance sheet. Like, there's a purpose for all these reports, and learning how to read them is super important. And then the third step is creating that financial plan, those 12 months out projections, where you're planning on where you want to take your business to and how you're going to get there, right? Because if you have a goal and you don't put it on paper, it's just a wish. So I always say a goal without a plan is just a wish. You need that step-by-step framework to get you to where you want to be.
I just have a question about, so you're saying you look 12 months out, but are there certain, you know, checkpoints that you have along the way where you kind of look at things and reevaluate and see if the goal that you set for the 12 months is still, you know, where you should be?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. And that's step four, where...
Oh, I'm sorry.
Yeah, that's
sorry.
Okay. You're just smart.
I should have just let you speak.
No, you're just smart and you're on it. So yeah, because once you break out, like when you've got that plan there, you want to measure it in increments to see if you're following that plan, right? So each and every month, at the end of the month, you're going to run your reports and you're going to look at where you came in for that month versus what you had planned. And that's where you understand, okay, this didn't go as planned. What can I do to fix it for the next month? Or this expense was way out of control. How do I reel that in and, you know, save more money? Or maybe you're spending money on advertising and you're seeing that your advertising dollars, just there's no return on that investment. So what's the point of constantly putting out those dollars? So when you look at what's going on in your business each month, you make more profitable decisions for your business. And then the final step is cash flow, right? So making sure that you've got the money coming in and going out to keep your business running smoothly and lose the stress of like, oh my God, I know this bill's coming up and how am I going to pay it? You know, having a cash management system in place just alleviates so much stress. So that's the 5-step framework. And when we're coaching and working together, obviously, we deal with everything that's affecting their business, but that's the core part of the program.
Yeah. I'm glad that you touched on kind of revisiting things, because I think it kind of boils down to flexibility. Like, things change. And so, you know, if you sort of have this hard and fast, like, 12-month outlook, and you're not going back and kind of reevaluating at different points.
Yeah, it's kind of like, you know, when you think about you know, if you're going to drive out to Vancouver, for example, right, from Toronto to Vancouver, and you're going along the planned route, but you accidentally took a wrong turn, and, you know, next thing you know, you're an hour behind schedule, right?
Yeah.
It's the same thing with your financial plan. It's like sometimes things happen, and having that flexibility and that resilience and knowing that you just get yourself back on course, you're still going to get to Vancouver, but you just didn't get there the way you had planned.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. I love it. Okay. So we've, you know, kind of covered a lot of things, and you've given a lot of, you know, really great ideas to focus on. But for anyone listening today, and I'm probably talking to myself as much as anybody else who is maybe feeling, you know, overwhelmed with understanding the financial piece and, you know, isn't really sure like where to put their efforts first. What's one thing you would recommend doing today that would have the biggest impact?
Take a deep breath and realize it's okay. You're not alone. It can be very emotional, but you can move on from it. And so getting that out of the way, I would steer people to go download the 5-step roadmap to biz finance freedom so that you have the steps. It's a guide that I have on my website, and you have the steps written in front of you. And there's, you know, a little bit of an explanation for each step. And just take it one step at a time and just slowly try to figure things out. Because, you know, you're not going to unlearn everything that you've learned throughout your life when it comes to money in one day, right? So consistently work at it and don't let those downtimes say, okay, well, that's it. I quit. I'm not going to do it anymore, right? Just stay consistent. Keep striving for improvement and you'll get there.
Yeah. And I think, you know, it's, you're going to make mistakes, right? The mistakes don't have to derail you. It's not like, you know, if you do one thing wrong or you haven't handled this maybe optimally that everything's going to, your business is going to tank. And, you know, you can always kind of learn, reevaluate and change, you know, the course that you're taking. So it's, I think sometimes we just tend to overthink it and really feel like, oh God, you know, I haven't been doing this. I ruined everything. And really, like, it's okay.
And it's emotional, right? Like, it's our business. Yeah. It's our baby. And it happens to me too, where I'll plan, like, I don't know, I've got these revenue targets and I don't meet them. And I'm like, you know, feeling the downward spiral of being an entrepreneur. And I'm like, wait a minute, you know, back up the truck here. This is just 1 month. It's not forever, right? So then I can look at my numbers objectively and say, okay, well, this went wrong. This didn't work out as planned. Okay, so this is what I'm going to focus on next month to try to get myself back on track.
Right, which if you're looking at them on a regular basis like that, you have that gives you the opportunity
exactly.
to turn things around. Whereas if you're kind of ignoring it for months and months and months, then it's like a bigger problem.
Yeah, you said it perfectly, right? Because if you're ignoring it for months, then you're losing that money for months. Whereas if you're dealing with the problem head on, then you have the opportunity to save that money.
Yeah. Well, I love it. I love it. So what can you say again, the freebie that you have? Because that's real. It's really good.
Yeah. The 5-step roadmap to biz finance freedom. And it can be downloaded on my website at melissahoustoncpa.com.
Okay. I'm going to for sure put that in the show notes awesome. Because I think everybody should get that. Are you ready for the Christie questions?
I am absolutely ready. Fire up.
All right. What is something that you really struggled with in your own business in the beginning that feels really easy now? And I would love to know what had to change for it to become easy.
I really like this question. And, you know, for people who know me, they know that I'm very transparent, very honest. And one thing I really struggled with when I first started my business was sales. And sales was definitely a money mindset issue, right? So for me, working 20 years in, you know, the accounting space and 6 years in the social work space, I never had to sell anything. Everything, you know, just the work came to me and I did it. So putting myself in that frame of mind where I'm asking for money and, you know, asking for fair compensation for what I do was really hard for me. And once I realized that and went, you know, like I went and got myself some coaching on my money mindset, and realized that it was actually my, you know, money story that was getting in the way when it was time to, you know, to deal with the sales, that really, really helped me. So when I say that, you know, like if somebody had told me when I was starting my business that I would have had a money mindset issue, I would have said, like, you're crazy because I've been working in this field for how many years? Like, there's no way I would have a mindset issue. But sure enough, I did. Sometimes they creep in there and you don't realize that you have them. So self-awareness is really important. And once you realize that you've got these things holding you back, don't be afraid to ask for help, because the sooner you overcome it, the more money you're going to be bringing in.
Yeah, absolutely. I think, you know, so many women listening, I'm sure, can relate to that. And I think it's especially tough when you are the face of your business. You know, it's a little different maybe when you're selling a product that, you know, it's not your face up there. You don't have to sell yourself, essentially.
Yeah, exactly.
That, you know, we're so uncomfortable with that. And I get it. I mean, I've certainly been there, and it's a process,
yeah,
for sure.
Yeah, absolutely. Process worth overcoming, though.
Oh, definitely. Okay. So the last question, I'm curious if your thoughts about success and wealth have changed at all over the years. And if so, how? And I'm asking this kind of for selfish reasons, because there's been a huge shift around what success looks like for me in the last year or so. And the more that I've talked about it, the more people have shared that they're also kind of looking at redefining success for themselves as well. So I'd love to hear your thoughts on that.
Yeah, for me, I really measure success with, okay, how's my family doing? How are my friends doing? How am I feeling about my business? Am I helping people? I mean, the social worker person in me is always wanting to help people. I tend to be an overgiver, which can be a flaw at times as well. So I really look at the success of my business with how many people that I'm impacting. It's not necessarily tied to how much money am I making. Of course, I want to make money. And yes, I've got financial goals of my own that I want to meet. But I've also recognized that I may not get there as quickly as I want to. So I need to enjoy the process of the success that comes each and every day, which may not be monetary success.
Yeah. I love that. I think kind of the older I get, I don't know, maybe it's age. I don't know what it is, but I am definitely more thinking about like cut my connections with people, and is something worth giving my time to, you know,
exactly,
kind of the cost benefit analysis. You know what I mean?
Exactly. And you have to realize that your time is a commodity as well, right? So it goes back to what we were talking about earlier with these, you know, the pressure of creating these 7 and 8 figure businesses. Like, you don't have to do that. There's no reason why you have to do it. But the reason why people are talking about it is because it's dangling that carrot. Come work with me. Come work with me. And this is what you'll get.
Exactly.
But if you take the time to think about what you really want, you may realize that that's not what you want.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And like I've said this a million times, but one of the biggest problems is that the bar is always moving. You know, it's never whatever number they're telling you they could help you get to. It's always
enough.
Moving.
Yes.
So it's never enough. Yeah.
Such
and like
point.
That's my real problem with it right there.
Yeah. Such a good point. I mean, it's and we know like, you know, I haven't really thought about this, but I'm glad you're bringing this to my attention. And it's all part of the marketing process, right? They're just mm-hmm. trying to sell you.
Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah. I love how you're thinking about that.
Oh, definitely. I mean, I think about it in my work all the time, because as a copywriter, you know, when I first started out, it was all about like, you know, the language around persuasion, and I was all about it. And then I started to realize like, wait a second, this has a consequence, you know? And as I kind of dug into it more, and I've, you know, been in the copywriting space over the years, I've really like kind of changed my mind around what's acceptable marketing practice for me personally, and, you know, in the clients that I work with. So it's kind of changed the way that I do business and the people that I work with. Although I have to say, like, most of my clients are really, it's not about that. It's not about selling to people who don't want or need what they have. It's really about connection and making an impact. But, you know, in the beginning, I was just taking all the work I could get. I didn't care. You know, it was like, I needed the paycheck. So it's just interesting kind of the evolution that you go through in your business and you know, how things start versus how it starts versus how it's going, right?
Exactly. Yeah, it's so true.
Yeah. Well, Melissa, this has been so helpful. And I want everybody to grab that freebie because it sounds amazing. I know I'm going to get it. Where can people find you and connect with you? I know you have a podcast, which people should definitely hear about.
The Business Society podcast, I drop that on Mondays every week. I absolutely love it. I do solo episodes and I do all sorts of interviews, which are really great. And if you want to follow me on social media, you can follow me at Melissa Houston CPA for both LinkedIn and Instagram.
Love it. Thank you so much for being here. I really appreciate it.
Thank you so much for having me. We've had such a great talk and you really got my wheels turning about some things. I love it.
Well, and you as well. It's like, okay, I know it's time. I've got to like, you know, just go forth and do this.
You will be grateful that you do it, right? Because the return on that investment, when you think about it, the earlier you do it in your business, the more money you're going to be able to save or make for yourself or profit to create or whatever for years and years and years to come. Like once you have this education, this knowledge, nobody can ever take that away from you.
Absolutely. Food for thought, folks. If you know an email funnel is the missing piece in your marketing strategy, but hiring a professional copywriter like yours truly isn't in the budget just yet, I have just the thing to help you DIY the entire thing in a weekend. I created the Instant Funnel Bundle to help you craft emails and sales pages that connect, captivate, and convert. See what I did there? So you can start filling your one-on-one and group program spots without providing value in Facebook groups all day and sliding into people's DMs hoping to snag a client. And the Instant Funnel Bundle comes with everything you need to just get it done already. I'm talking a brand voice and messaging guide, a welcome sequence swipe file, 4 sample nurture emails, promo sequence swipe files, long-form sales page swipes, and a sales page design template. So you literally get 45 pages of swipe files and templates for $77. Now, if you want to go get your hands on it, the link to the sales page is in the show notes, so go check it out.